Let's get to the message this morning, though. If you have your Bibles with you, let's open that up. We're going to land in Hebrews to start with because we're on this bit of a series. And so we got Hebrews chapter 6. And if you've been around for a little while, you would remember that every first Sunday of the month, I'm going to walk through this series about elementary teaching. So in Hebrews chapter 6, we'll just read it together, verse 1 through 3. It says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance that leads to death and to faith in God." We've already spoken those two messages. You can go back and watch it on our website or something if you want. So repentance, faith in God, and now the third one that we're going to add to that. Now we're being instructed. Repentance and faith in God is your foundation. The Word of God is your foundation, and then you begin to add walls to your foundation or the roof to your foundation. These are the things we're going to add. Now we're going to add baptisms. There's two of them there. There's multiple ones. We'll talk about that today. The laying on of hands. We'll talk about that in about a month. Resurrection of the dead. We'll talk about in 2 months. And then the summer, eternal judgment. We'll talk about that as well. But I want to start there with, we're talking about baptisms today. I spoke since I've been here. This will be my 8th message about baptism or water or, you know, that kind of stuff. So we look back on, if you go to our website again, you can find all these sermons. You know, in 2019 when I moved here, I preached twice that year because I had to tell you everything I knew about, you know, water baptism. It was just, you start early, you got to tell them everything you know. In 2020, I spoke all alone by myself at this pulpit to a red light camera. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. I was all excited about it. I don't know how you received it because I was on your TV, but hopefully it landed well. In 2021, I did it twice. I talked about water baptism. I talked about the importance that Jesus was water baptized. We might touch on that today. We'll see where it goes. And then in September of 2022, into the waters I spoke on. Last year, I spoke on water baptism in September. And this year, take me to the river. I'm talking to you about baptism again. So we see the word here. It comes up. Baptisms, it's not just one baptism, it's not a water baptism, there's multiple, and so we'll look at those together. If we were to go to, if you're considering membership, maybe you have become a member, at the back there is actually a questionnaire. It's all the legalese, all the constitution and bylaws, and the part that you would sign at the back here, there's questions. And so the very first question that I kind of resonate with is question 3. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Yes or no? I think if you don't know that you haven't become a member, you probably want to check yes on that one. Just kind of giving you a hint there. Because it's based off of John 3:3, which says, "In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again, unless he is saved, unless he is set free." You've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what church is about. So we see that. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Bang. Question 3. Question 4 says, "Have you been baptized by water in immersion? Yes or no is a question." And then question 5 goes on to say this, which I love this part, because this is where sometimes controversy comes in, or we're maybe not clear, maybe we need to flush it out a little bit, and that's okay. Number 5A says, "Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Yes or no?" Some people would say yes, some people would say no. If it's no, don't lose your salvation over that. Don't get bent out of shape because B is going to come along. B says, if not, are you open to receiving this experience? Because it's scriptural, it's biblical. If speaking in tongues is a hurdle for you, thinking like, you know, Pastor, you talked on visions a little while ago. You talked on trances a little while ago, and that was pretty sketchy for me. You know, I know this Pentecostal stuff's getting a bit out there. Now you want to talk about speaking in tongues like, this is a mountain for me. And so if it is, it's okay. But as long as you're open to it, because it's actually in the Bible, I don't have to defend it. It's all through Scripture. You're going to run into it again and again and again. So be open to the experience, because for many of us, we maybe have had a bad experience where the Holy Spirit's been twisted. The Holy Spirit's been mispresented to you. It's been wrongly presented to you. It's been presented to you in honestly really weird ways. But don't allow that. Don't allow a person who presented it wrongly to you, falsely to you, to just derail it from Scripture. It's actually there in Scripture. I'm going to look at it a little bit. Why is it in the membership package, in the Pentecostal membership package? It's there for a lot of reasons. It used to say this, which it wasn't fully, you know, I'm Pentecostal, I'm ordained, and you know, all this kind of stuff. I believe in it. but it said it was the initial evidence that to have the Holy Spirit, you had to have tongues. Without tongues, you didn't have Holy Spirit. And I thought, not sure I agree with that 100%. Here's why it's used to say that, though. It used to say that for 100 years with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. It said that because you have to have this book on your shelf. You need this book. This is a great book. The Azusa Street Mission and Revival. If we go back in time, over 100 years ago, when the Pentecostal movement happened in the early 1900s, here's what it was, why it was so important that they said that, why there was this kind of movement. And so William Joseph Seymour, the African-American pastor of the Azusa Street Mission in the early 1906 to 1909, the Azusa Street Mission became the focus of attention not only of Los Angeles, but of thousands of people around the world as the news spread. I didn't know how you spread news back then. You can't text and email. I mean, how do you, like, I heard something on a boat one day, like, you've got to spread that information in a very different way. But thousands of people had heard about it. They began flocking there. You know, I used to live in the Yukon where people would flock for money, about gold. They just thought there's a gold rush day, you know, back at the same time. Well, I wouldn't want to go for gold. I want to go for Jesus. And so they were flocking there. And it said, though, it's so important for us to hear once again how a small prayer meeting of some 15 people, including children, well, they're anointed too, don't forget, grew into an internationally acclaimed congregation of hundreds in just 3 months. And how this movement and those 15 people, the Pentecostal, it just exploded all over the world to hundreds of millions of people today. And when they said, let's make a membership package based off of what we believe as Pentecostals, the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues was something that they wanted to be known for. So it's quite highly, you know, pushed on their list. Where today, it's not like we're opposed to the Pentecostal movement or the Holy Spirit or speaking in tongues. It's interesting that many denominations are teaching this in a greater way. Where some denominations are like, we actually don't talk about the Holy Spirit very much. Our church is now full of the Holy Spirit. People are speaking in tongues, and they're coming to the Pentecostal church going, can you please teach us a little bit? Because we don't know what's going on. It seems a little crazy around here. And I love that idea. So when we think about our baptisms, we see clearly water baptism, which we'll teach on just a little bit here. And we see spirit baptism, we see through spirit baptism, we see speaking in tongues as well. My story is New Year's 2000. I give my life to the Lord Jesus. I said, God, I'm done with my life. I've made an absolute disaster of it. The next day, you know, I am not addicted to many things anymore. I cannot do that on my own. I tried that for 23 years. I could not get free. But all of a sudden, the next day, I was free. I had Holy Spirit. So salvation, Holy Spirit, then I decided 6 months later I should probably get in the water, and then it was like years later, 6-7 years later until I actually spoke in tongues. So you can see the kind of train of effect. Salvation, got the Holy Spirit, water baptism, that's my story. If we look in Scripture, it's not a formula. It's about your relationship. It's about how you connect with the Lord and when he gives you those things. Not if, it's just when. Let's go to the book of Acts for fun. Acts chapter 10. And verse 44. While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Woo! Preaching of the word brought the Holy Spirit on. I love that. It's quiet in here. I'm preaching the word right now. I am not Peter. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. You and I are Gentiles, just so we're clear, most of us. I don't know if there's any Jew in here today. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized in water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have done. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Peter had said that, they said, hey, please stay and hang out with us for a little while. So we see that this happened, the Holy Spirit happened before water baptism. So if you're thinking, maybe you're here this morning, like, I haven't been water baptized, so I obviously don't have the Holy Spirit. That's actually biblically not sound doctrine. Because we can see clearly here, these people were filled with the Holy Spirit, they're speaking in tongues, and then they're like, oh, we should probably get you in the water. It's probably be a good thing to do. It can happen the opposite way as well. Let's find another story. So we're in Acts. Let's just flip back just one page, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that in Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. They say, oh, there's a movement. God's doing something. There's a bit of a revival. You know, go there and investigate. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet been come upon them. They had simply, I don't even, the terminology, they had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had not received the Holy Spirit yet. Water baptism, only water baptized. Like when you say to somebody, oh, where's yourself? You know, are you saved? Yes, check. Are you baptized? Maybe. Are you the Holy Spirit? Maybe. It's like, you know, it's so funny to me. You've only been water baptized? What's your problem? You know, you need some Holy Spirit action. You know, I just think that's hilarious. That's the terminology here. But it's really paving a way, and so I don't really want to dive on it too much because I do want to talk about it in a month. In verse 17, it says, and Peter and John placed their hands on him. That's where we'll go in a month again, that laying on of hands. But next Sunday when I speak on that one as well, on April 7th, it's going to be our Meet the Pastors board and lunch and staff and all that kind of stuff after the service. So if you're new in the last 3 to 6 months, we would love to meet with you. Love to meet you with the board, with the staff, show you around the building, talk about the church ministry. So we'll do that in a month. So laying on of hands on April 7th, and then we'll have a lunch after the service as well. I don't know if it'll be full of meatballs or leftover chili, but we'll have lots of fun there together. So when we hear those kind of things, though, that, you know, they showed up, they talked about the Holy Spirit, they talked about water baptism, it reminds me of things that we use so often as Christianese. It's common language, and we say things like, you know, the Spirit and baptism and the good news and the Word and all these kind of things. That, what does that mean sometimes, though? Because it's almost like words that we kind of use, but we don't really know the terminology. And if you get to the church, you're kind of like, I have no idea what they're talking about. It feels like there's foreign language because I don't understand that fully. And so I want to flesh out the good news just for a second. So when we say the good news, like there's a lot of good news. This is the good news. But when it's spoken, when it's preached, what does it mean? What are some of the moving parts to that? So let's just stay in the book of Acts. Wonderful book. We'll stay there. Acts chapter 8, and we'll go to verse 4 for a second. Those who had been scattered preached the word everywhere they went. So these people that were scattered, a bit of context, if we go to Acts chapter 7, we see this man named Stephen. Stephen was stoned to death. The church was being persecuted, so people ran away. You know, if Pastor Rob was stoned to death, you might want to run. I don't know what would happen. It would be kind of crazy thinking, I don't know if I want to go back to church anymore. You might scatter, and this is what happened, so the people ran away. And as they ran away, they went to foreign countries or different cities. And when they landed there, though, they just preached the word of God. So those who had been scattered preached the word everywhere they went. So because this guy died, it actually spread the gospel. And we see in verse 8 here, it says, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So preaching the good news of the kingdom of God and of Jesus Christ is what? What does it equal when you hear that? When you say the good news is being preached, Jesus is being preached, so what does that equal? What do you do about it? What's not said but being done? The kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. You know, when it doesn't say anywhere in this preaching of the word of God or explaining the good news or sharing that, saying like, if you preach the good news in the word of God, you should do A, and then you should do B, and then Holy Spirit, and it doesn't say that. It says that they preach the good news, and in turn, they got baptized. So preaching the good news is preaching about water baptism. Let's go ahead, just a few verses, and let me kind of echo the same thing. We'll see this time and time again in Scripture. And sometimes because we're Christians or we've been here long enough, we just assume that, right? We just think, yep, you preach the word, we get saved, we get water baptized. But if you're new to this, you're like, I didn't know that. And so in verse 35 of Acts 8, so you've got this Ethiopian eunuch going down the street in a carriage. He's reading the scriptures. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. And God says to Philip, go and talk to that guy. So in verse 35, we pick it up. Then Philip began with this very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. Why is he even caring about water? The eunuch said, look there, some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? If you read the scripture that he was reading and go back to Isaiah, it doesn't say anything about being water baptized. It doesn't say anything about when Philip was telling him about the good news about being water baptized. But it is water baptism, isn't it? That's part of the good news. That's part of the journey. That's part of the salvation. That's part of our walk with the Lord. So it is good news. The good news about Jesus is about salvation and repentance. It's about getting baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's all part of the good news. That's all part of the package. And so why were they doing this, though? You're thinking, in the book of Acts here, we're thinking, we see Jesus in the Gospels. And then Jesus leaves. And then the book of Acts begins. And so why are they doing these things? You know, we have the Word of God. If you just had the Word of God all by yourself, and you didn't have a church, and you read the Word of God, like, what would you do? How would you act? What kind of decisions would you make? And these people in the book of Acts were following Jesus' commandments. They were following the Word of God. And so let's just go back to Matthew. I mean, sometimes this is basic, but we need to know why we do what we do and why it's so important. So Matthew 28, once I start reading it, you'll be like, okay, I get it. The last couple verses of Matthew 28, verse 16. When the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. When Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So because of all that, therefore, I love therefore, I've got to underline, therefore go, make disciples of all nations. So how do we make disciples of all nations? How do we make disciples of people? How do we do that? And God says this, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. The way we disciple people is by, it's clear, two things. We baptize them and we teach them. What has helped you in your life? Well, if you look at your own history, your own story, your own journey with the Lord, what has helped? Podcasts. Did baptism help you? Did it actually change you? Whether it was a water baptism, in water, or it was a spirit baptism, the Holy Spirit came in you. Were those monumental moments in your life? Because if you think about water baptism, it's gigantic. It is massive. You should do it at least one time in your life. If some people are like very young and they get it done, they become an adult, they think they want to get it done a second time. Not opposed to that, but at least get it done one time. Because what you're doing is you're taking yourself, your will, all of your sin, all of your dirty and grossness, and you're putting the water. It comes off of you in the water, and then Jesus raises you again. You're clean. You're fresh. You need to get that done. And then you're going through life. You're struggling with life. And, you know, we can put the top three out there, drugs and alcohol, all these addictions. But you're struggling with anger. You're struggling with depression. You're struggling with frustration, and things don't add up, and, you know, finance, all that kind of stuff. You need help in that area. How do you get help in that area? You get filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you through those things. Have you had those mountain moments where you're like, yes, I was baptized. Oh, in Jesus' name, I just felt like a brand new creation. Woohoo! Came out of the water. Usually people are screaming and yelling and tears and all kind of wonderful stuff. At the same time, when we continue to live our lives and we face difficult things, we get filled with the Spirit. And the filled with the Spirit is not a one-time event. It's a multiple-time event. Continuously be filled. Every morning, say, oh, God, I need your Spirit today. Otherwise, we're in trouble, because if I'm in control of this thing, it's going to go down. We're going to head the wrong direction. So, God, would your Spirit lead me today? Would you direct me today? Because there are going to be things that are going to come through my door or across my desk, or phone calls are going to come that I'm not prepared for. But you're prepared for it, and you'll help me get through it. That's baptisms. Tisms. Water and the Spirit. They're together. They go together. It's beautiful. You need both of them. You need them all the time. It's wonderful. Don't forget. As part of the good news, it's a gift. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 5. It's not earned. It's given. It's free. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The hope does not, and our hope doesn't disappoint us. Why doesn't it disappoint us? Why do you keep coming here every Sunday? Why do you keep opening your Bible? Why do you keep pursuing the Lord? Because you've tried everything else in life. This is the only thing that makes sense. This is the only thing that I've kind of come to a conclusion. I tried everything in the world for 23 years of my life. I came here and I found what I was looking for. I don't need to keep looking anymore. I don't need to go anywhere else. I've found what I've needed. My hope, the hope that I have in this thing, it doesn't disappoint me every time I open it. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The filling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who was given to us as a free gift. And if you think about it like this, let's think about this. The whole context of the whole entire scripture of God and the triune Godhead, all three members of the Trinity are involved in salvation. Think about this for a second. The Father loved us so much, we could read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. God the Father loved us so much that he sent his Son to bridge the gap so we can have a relationship with him. God the Father and God the Son decided, they thought it'd be great to have the Holy Spirit. And he said, hey, you know, Jesus is going to go back up to heaven. He's going to be hanging out with the Father. But while you're still here, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1, it speaks of that. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Yes, Acts, we're going to get there. It is in here, I promise. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses. How can we witness to something that hasn't changed us? If you receive something, like when I receive money in my wallet, you can actually see something change. My wallet goes, you know, you know. When you give me chocolate, my face goes, woohoo, you know. Or cassava cake, thank you so much, that was delicious the other day. But something changes. When my hockey team wins, there's some excitement. I can't be excited right now, I'm telling you, I have to be honest. I've given up, I've abandoned them, not a prayer for them, I'm joking. But when you receive something, there's change. And so when you receive the Holy Spirit, how can you witness to somebody if there's nothing to change about? Oh, go to church. You should believe in God. What has he done for you? I don't know. Like, has he changed you? I don't know. Like, what? No, it's a witness. You should be like, oh, I used to be this way, but God, in his mercy and grace, saw me, how messed up I was, said, that's the guy for me. I want that guy on my team. I want that woman on my team. They're going to do wonderful things in Jesus' name. That's the kind of things that we witness about. I love this idea. So my family and I, we do this all the time. Well, not too often. We just do it sometimes. And we don't want people to cheat, so sometimes we have to blindfold them. But we'll put out, again, you got to work with me. Okay, it's food, obviously. You can tell where I'm going with this. Cheese. Like, the last time we did it was those Gouda. We said, okay, mild Gouda, medium Gouda. Oh, the smoked Gouda, man, it was good. But anyway, so we kind of blindfold each other, and then we just feed each other. So which one is it? And which one do you like the best? So then we know which one to buy. And so we haven't done this one with Pop recently. We did it a long time ago. But it was like, okay, Coke, Pepsi, you know, which one is which one? And you can kind of taste it. I can see you, and you can see me really clearly. And so when I go to Prince Rupert, where I grew up, and people see me, they still see the same hooligan-looking guy. But what they can't see is what God's done. And so as they listen with their other senses, as they listen, they go, this guy's singing a different tune. As they feel something different because of what's going on internally. So when you've been, whether you've been saved or water baptized or filled with the Spirit, when I see you right now, I don't know if there's anything different that I see. If anything, we're getting grayer. My honking back hurts for real. I'm not even joking right now. But you don't look much different. But something's going on internally. that's witnessing to people. Because yes, they see you, but do they see who's inside of you? Is inside of you coming out? Because it should. You should be able to close your eyes and just listen to somebody, the way that they carry themselves, the way that they talk, the way that they walk, the way that they respond. You don't have to use your eyes. All of those things should be happening. You should be able to sense them. God gave us senses for a reason. Let's use them. Not for our ability or to benefit us, but I didn't really want to go with smell and that kind of stuff because I'm not sure if you took a bath today. Maybe you need to get water baptized. You need to get in that water, but I have some fun with you there. I thought I'd just kind of land with that one just for a moment. I've spoken on this so many times. I love speaking about the Holy Spirit. I love speaking about water baptism because I've seen the change in you. I've seen the change in me over the years. It's wonderful to be a part of. It's wonderful to receive. Don't ever be opposed to it. If you've had some negative, you know, experiences around it, that's okay. Just, you know, say, okay, that was the situation. I want to read the Word of God. I want to be obedient to the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to you. It's not about me. It's about your relationship with God. If seriously you've never been water baptized, though, we do this every year. It's a very, you know, natural annual thing as a church. We've got a little sign-up sheet. It's going to go over there to the Welcome Center. I already got four names on there, so I know we got to get the tank out, get it warmed up. So consider that. As a church, though, we want to continue to do this. And let me just finish with two verses, and then I promise we'll be done and we'll pray. We go back to Matthew. You already know it. You know, we already read it. You know, therefore, go and make disciples. As a church, we want to be obedient to that. There's a few things that are mountains. There's a few things that we kind of point towards is trying to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. We want to teach. We want to preach. We want to share. We want to encourage. We want to witness. We do all those kind of things so that we'd be obedient to Christ. Baptisms, teaching the Word of God. And finally, the last one here, so it's a bit off in a sense. Well, I guess it's not. We already went there. I wasn't sure if we're going to go there. But Acts 1:8 again, it just says, you know, you will receive. You're going to receive this free gift of power when this Holy Spirit comes on you. So I want to pray for that for us in just a moment, that we would receive the Holy Spirit. But one thing that happened this morning was the coolest thing, because I love how God works. And so there's my message. So let me just close now. Let me close all that up. But let me just kind of have some fun with us now. So, at the beginning of this year, so a few months ago, really felt God impress this piece of scripture on my heart. And so, the first Sunday of every month again, I'm going to preach that series. So again, we're in part three of that series. So months ago, we kind of planned this. At the adult social, when you come out, if you come out at the first Thursday of the month, we've got the golf simulator set up. Who's this guy with this new swing? It's just completely... you know, owned, you know, all of the, you know, the history. We were like longest drive and, you know, biggest hit of all time. And this young guy comes out, Aaron, just like way beyond us. I said, no wonder why I threw my back out trying to beat this guy. But anyway, so lots of fun there. 9 square, little volleyball game. Young and old are all playing. Balls bouncing off your head. It's great. Popcorn, food, hangout, fellowship. We're having a great time. And so we're doing that. And then we put up a poster at the adult social, because I want people to feel welcome to come to church and feel loved upon, but I'm hoping they'll feel like drawn to God. And so in the poster, we kind of put little titles, and Chris helps me with it. Chris is our kind of website video guy. He does a great job, and so he comes up with some nice slogans there. And the slogan that he came up with, or the title of the message today, was "Take Me to the River." It's taken to the river. There's this water. There's this movement. And in our last session, again, I picked the video series, the Bible study. So at 9 a.m., I'm giving you lots of information. I apologize. I got to connect all these dots. At 9 a.m., we've been walking through this 8-part video series, and we just happened to end this morning on it. And it just happened to say, which I honestly didn't know till this morning, thank you, Jesus. Now, Chris, you got Kleenexes back there, so you'll be fine. The title of this one, though, is Releasing Rivers of Life. Like, you can't orchestrate that kind of stuff. So when I share with you and I preach and I, you know, when I feel like the Lord's leading us, like, it's not me. It's God. God is wanting to teach us. God is wanting to speak to us. And so I don't want to just kind of move past and just pray and say amen. There's something going on in the spiritual realm right now. God has just put all this together for a reason, for a season, for a time, for this morning. I don't know who it's for. If there's one person, great. If there's many, awesome. But somebody's here this morning that has contemplated, just let's start with the first one, water baptism. And for whatever reason, you haven't done it. You've thought about it. You've mulled it over. Maybe you haven't, just like something just hasn't kind of got you there yet. I don't know if that's for you, but if that is you, please sign the sheet. Please, we do a three-part series. I'll sit with you with the Word of God, and we'll talk about baptism and what all it means and why it's important. If that's you, awesome. And then I think, to me personally, I think it's more this camp, though, is that Holy Spirit is sometimes mispresented and misrepresented, and you're not totally sure, and you've been kind of a little bit hesitant, and you're like, I really don't want to fall down and get all shaky and weird and that kind of stuff. Like, that's not going to happen, I promise you. We're very orderly here. God is a God of order. But that you would open yourself up to the Holy Spirit and just allow him to do whatever he wants to do. It's him. It's up to him. It's not me. But I just want to pray that you'd be open to that. So that's really where I feel like that's going to land. So I want to pray for you. And I always allow, you know, you to do whatever you want to do. If you want to come to the front altar and just kneel down, it's up to you. You want to just sit in your seat? I love to open my hands because I say, God, just I love free things. So you got to open up your hands to receive something. And so I just open my hands. For some of us, it's just you close your eyes and visually you're just like, I'm just opening myself up to God. That's all I want to do here. And however you want to do that, let's just get into that space right now. So just close our eyes. And closing your eyes is not anything spiritual. It's just about not having distractions, not looking around. It's just between you and the Lord. And so, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for lining up all these details beforehand. Thank you that you're here. Thank you that you have a greater plan than I have and that our church has. You're doing far more exceedingly and abundantly than we can even ask or imagine. We heard that teaching this morning, that when we look into the original, you know, Greek and Hebrew, when it said that God was wanting to pour into you, it's immeasurably more than we can think about, and then it's even beyond that. And so, Lord, I don't know what you want to do. I just want to be obedient to what you want to do. And so we're just making this space, we're making ourselves available for you. And you're up in heaven, you're looking down, and you just love us. That's why you sent your son, Jesus. And Jesus died for all of our sins, and now we're free. And now he's with you at your right hand. And you said, they're going to need help. And so you intentionally and purposely said, I will give you the Holy Spirit. And so right now, Father, we want to receive the Holy Spirit in a fresh and new way. Father, we're not satisfied with where we're at. God, we desire more. We desire freedom. We desire cleansing. Father, take that pass and burn it up in Jesus' name. We don't want to carry it around anymore. Lord, we can't do this on our own. We need you, Holy Spirit. Would you dwell? Would you move in? Would you set up camp in my heart? You said in your word that you loved us and you gave us the Holy Spirit into our hearts, that it would pour into our hearts. We might have a heart of stone this morning. Would you throw that in the fire and give us a heart of flesh? In Jesus' name, amen.